Jesus. Just silence for the next 1 minute. Nothing playing. Nothing playing. Just silence in the presence of God. Silence in the presence of God. You are beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. We love you. Thank you, precious Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. We had an interruption from the Holy Spirit. And anytime the Holy Spirit does this, that means there is someone that needs to be influenced by His glory. I just want you to know that something has been shifted in the Spirit, and you are never the same again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to teach you for 30 minutes because we used 30 minutes of our time already. And then we are going to pray. So, we began to look at a subject on Christian maturity. And we said that there are three beams of maturity. If you're here following us for some time, we said the first beam of maturity is doctrinal maturity. The second beam of maturity is ministry maturity. And the third beam of maturity is character maturity. That means for us to call a Christian matured, which means that he must be matured, first of all, in doctrine, secondly, in ministry, and thirdly, in character. We've spent a couple of weeks of looking at doctrinal maturity. And then we began to look at the 8 most important doctrines of the Christian faith that every child of God must know. And we said the first doctrine is the doctrine of God. The second doctrine is the doctrine of man and sin. The third doctrine is the doctrine of Christ. The fourth doctrine is the doctrine of salvation. The fifth doctrine is the doctrine of what? The church. 2 weeks ago, we began to look at some very important truths on the doctrine of the church. And we began to look at 5 metaphors that describes the composition of the church. And we said that number 1, the church is the family of God. It's not just a group of people that are gathered, but the church is the family of God. Number 2, we said that the church is the body of Christ. That means we are inseparable with Jesus. Number 3, we said the church is the bride of Christ. Number 4, we said the church is the building of God. It's the temple of God. Collectively, we are God's temple. We looked at some few verses in Ephesians chapter 2. And number 5, we said the church is the army of God. So without wasting much time, we want to go straight into today's message on divine realities about the church, or divine realities of the church. It's very important that we understand the doctrine of the church, because without that understanding, we will not grasp why we have gathered like this. Praise God. So we are looking at divine realities of the church. Now, the first reality about the church is that the church belongs to Christ. The church belongs to Christ. Jesus calls it my church. So the church does not belong to an individual. The church does not belong to a pastor. In fact, to a large extent, it is very dangerous for a pastor to say my church, because you don't have a church. And when you read the book of Acts chapter 20, the verse 28, the Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has what? Purchased with his own blood. So the church is the property of Jesus. And he purchased the church with his own blood. Now, it's very important for you to understand who the church belongs to. Praise God. So that anytime you rise up against it, you know who you are fighting. Hallelujah. When you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, again, you're going to see the purchase of the blood of Jesus. It says, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are what? God's. 1 Peter chapter 1, the verse 18 and 19 also confirms that. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 5, the verse 2 to 4. I want to read that. 1 Peter chapter 5, the verse 2 to 4. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Which means the flock belongs to who? It's the flock of God. So no pastor owns a flock. He says, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy liquor, but of a ready mind. That means you don't make money from the membership of the church. You don't make business out of ministry. He says, neither has been lords over them. That means wherever you appear, people must bow down to you. He says, lords over them, over God's who? What? God's heritage. So the church of God is God's inheritance. It's God's heritage. But being what? The best way a leader can represent himself to the people of God is through exemplifying himself as Christ to the people. Hallelujah. So the first reality about the church is that it is the property of Jesus. He purchased it with his blood. So anytime you say my church, that's a problem. So every time I'm very conscious never to say that. In case I make a mistake to say that, I apologize and say sorry. Hallelujah. Number two, the church is not a physical building. It is spiritual. The church is not a physical building. It is spiritual. Now, this venue, this place is a venue. It is not a church. It's a venue where the church meets. Please, are you following this thing? When we live, as we are living, this place is no longer a church. Please, are you following this? So a lot of times people think the church is a building. Rather, the church meets in a building. Because you are the church. Are you following this thing? Now look with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, the verse 15. The apostle Paul said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So the pillars of the church are not these stones or these concretes you see here. We are the pillars and the ground of truth. First Peter chapter 2, the verse 5. Let's do it quickly. We have some few minutes. He says, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. So you see, the house itself is the gathering of the people, not the building.
in which the people have gathered into. Are you following this thing? So he says, you as lively stones are built up into a spiritual house. So we are currently the house God is living or dwelling or inhabiting. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus. What we just did was actually a sacrifice in heaven. Praise God. Number three. The New Testament focuses on the church from three dimensions. The New Testament focuses on the church from three dimensions. Number one, the individual believer as a church. The individual believer as a church. So individually, as a child of God, you are a church. So you can represent God anywhere. That is why the church cannot be a building. We can call it a church auditorium, or a church venue, or a church building. Are you following that? So the New Testament focuses on the church from three perspectives. Number one is the individual believer as the church of God. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible tells us, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So your body is individually a church, a kind of individual church. That's like we can have church meeting with your family, because the church does not end after we say our last prayer. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 also confirmed the same thing. So number one, the individual believer is the church. Number two, the second dimension of church is what we call the local church. The local church. Now hear me carefully. You know, a lot of times people think when you say local church, it means the church is local. That's a big error, I'm telling you. Hear me carefully. So people think that when you say local church, it means the church is in the village. So people say, no, my church is not a local church. My church is Peace International Ministries. It is not the international you add to the church that makes it international. Whether it's international or global in the name of your church, it's still a local church. We need to understand what it means to be a local church. A local church is a body of believers in a locality. Simple. A local church is a body of believers in a locality. So for example, this church is a local church in this community. Action Chapel is at Spintex. It's a local church in Spintex. They are in a locality. They gather in a locality. That's why it's called a local church. They are gathered in a location or a locality. That's why it's called a local church. Not because it's in a village. I'll give an example. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Now watch that for yourself. Acts 8, 1. The Bible says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. At the time, there was a great persecution against what? The church which was at Jerusalem. So this was not the entire church in the body of Christ, but a local church, which is the church in Jerusalem. Please, are you following this? Let me give you another example from the Bible. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Acts 13, 1. He says, now we're in the church that was at where? Antioch. That was the church's locality of gathering. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. He says, then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. So a local church is not a local church. A local church is a body of believers in a locality. Number three, or the third dimension of what church is what we call the universal church. So So the universal church constitutes the entire body of believers for whom Christ died for. It constitutes the entire body of believers for whom Christ died for. It constitutes the entire body of believers for whom Christ died for. So the universal church is the mystical body of Christ. So the church of God in Dansuman, the church of God in Medina, the church of God in East Legon, together we are called a universal church. The church of God in India, all the churches put together across, is a body of believers who are found in the body of Christ. Please, are you following that? So that is the universal church. So it begins from the individual believer to what? To the local church, to the universal church. I'll give you an example of the universal church in the scriptures. Now, open with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the verse, Acts chapter 20, the verse 28. Acts 20:28. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. So he was speaking of the universal church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. It affects everybody. Look again with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, the verse 22 and 23. It says, for you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the church of the firstborn, watch that, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. So in this context, Apostle Paul was not referring to a local church, but the universal church of God. We are the general assembly collectively. Mystically, we are the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. That's the word registered in heaven. Are we following that? So we said the church of God is classified into three dimensions. Number one is the individual believers, the church. Number two is the local church. Number three is the universal church. Please don't get confused about these three, because you will need to understand them. A prophetic word can be given to the individual. A prophetic word can be given to a particular local church. For example, the angel of the church of Smyrna, the angel of the church of Laodicea, the book of Revelation, the angel of the church of Ephesus. So the prophetic word was given specifically to what? The local church. Likewise, the epistles. Ephesians was an epistle written to a local church in Ephesus. But today we can learn from it. Are you following this? And a prophetic word can also be given to the entire body of Christ. So another example I can give to you is that you realize that in every year, every local church has a theme for the year. A year of shining. A year of breakthrough. Another church says, a year of what? Others, a year of what? New beginning. A year of double manifestation. Now, what happened is that that prophetic word was given specifically to that ministry as it pertained to their calendar in God's agenda. So it's not that everybody is hearing different things. God has an assignment for every local church. He can tell one local church, this year you will fast and pray more than any other church. Don't go and copy another church. And if you belong to a local church, make sure you don't compare your local church to another local church. In this church, they don't do fasting. Only this church, we are fasting. So which church will do 40 days fasting? They'll finish, do 14 and do 30 and do 100 days. Why? The battles we are fighting are not the same. The agenda is not the same. Please, are you following this? So there is a prophetic agenda for every ministry. And you see, you know, just like before you sit in a truck, have you ever entered a truck where you don't know where it is going? You just saw a trotter there and then you sat in it. You appear in Avrongo. You appear in Avrongo. So you ask, where it is this car going? Then they'll tell you it's going to Dansuman. Then you tell them, alight me here. And you must be sure you are also going to Dansuman. If not, the driver will offend you. Are you following what I'm saying? Likewise, when you belong to a local church, find out where the church is going and where the church is not going. If not, you'll be offended. So if you don't know where your local church is going, offense is easy. Are you following this thing? For example, in every beginning of the year, we pray 168 hours from Monday to Monday morning. But we went into a covenant with God that if we enter our auditorium this year, we are going to give him 1,000 hours. When calculated, it is 42 days. Non-stop prayer. Now, those of you think that the 168 is like, there's no breakage. Continuous Monday 6 a.m. to the next Monday 6 a.m. non-stop. So, if 168 was a little unbearable, how about 1,000? Another measure. Holy Ghost, another 1,000. We told God if he takes us to the auditorium, we didn't know he would take us. Next week we are moving. And when we wanna, it's a covenant. A covenant is a covenant. And we made a mistake. So God said, I'll fasten the process. 1,000. Okay, that's fine. I'll send it 20,000. I'll send it 100,000. 1,000. That's what he was looking at. Now it has come. So at that time, if you run to another local church because you want to save your soul, you have lost your soul. Hallelujah. A lot of times people don't understand some of this prophetic stuff. This is man of God. This man of God is a prophet. But why is that he doesn't prophesy often? Every time he say, the Bible say. I've not seen any prophet who is always teaching. You have to find out there are different prophets. So there are different prophets. I am a prophet who establishes people. I know my call. So if you are here, I will establish you. By the next 6 months, you will grow whether you like it or not. Except you run away. So we'll force you to pray, we'll force you to fast. It is well. Hallelujah. The role of the local church. Let's do this in some few minutes. The role of the local church. So, when we meet like this, what is the purpose? What is the role? Why do we meet like this? Why is it that when you got born again, God was interested that you join a local church? He didn't allow you to grow alone. So anyone that gets born again, God pushes the person to join a local church. Because God knows that maturity is almost impossible individually. Did you hear me? Maturity is almost impossible what? Individually. You can't grow alone. And I'll show you why we have a local church. Why? See, you must not attend church. You must belong to church. There's a difference between attending church and what? Belonging. This one is not the devil. It's money. Poverty will let you put off your mic like that. That's why we can't remain poor. First, we say God punish the devil. It's money. If you have money to solve all these things. That's why you see, this one, as the mic went off now, one rich person with the man of God. This is the last time I'm using this microphone. You know, when we are having programs, sometimes we have to pray against light off. How is light off a prayer topic? That God sustain the light, sustain the light, sustain the light. If there's a plant there, will you pray that prayer? That prayer. You will pray that prayer. Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, I'm telling you, may you never be poor in your life. See, I'm telling you, may you see me. Me, I will never be poor. Me, I'm telling you. I don't know about you, but me, my throat, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, fair. Oh, yeah, air time. I'm telling you. Money will let you see fufu and a bang point pie and meat. You can say, no, meat is not good. Meat is a massa. Too much of love and yet. This microphone has just been going off and off. It's poverty. See, God will bless you guys so much, eh? That, listen, a time is going to come, eh? Oh my goodness. What I'm saying, I'm not joking, you know. I've seen it. I see it on your forehead. You'll be sponsoring things. You'll just be paying school fees. You'll just be buying cars for people. You'll just be buying Uber for people. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. So the role of the local church, number one, is that the local church is a place where believers are fed for growth and establishment. The local church is a place where believers are fed for growth and establishment. A local church, it's a place where believers are fed for growth and what? Establishment. Now hear me carefully. If you've been to church for the past 5 years and you are not seeing a level of growth and establishment in your faith, there is something wrong with you or the church you are belonging to. I'm teaching you here. It's a place where believers are fed. Listen, I use Israel as an example because Israel was the first typology church in the New Testament, as they were in the Old Testament. Just like God called them out of Egypt, God calls us out of sin. But remember that as Israel came out from Egypt, before they came out, they were eating food produced from Egypt. And all the food produced from Egypt were earthbound foods. Cucumber, garlic, these are all foods grown from where? The ground. And when they came out of Egypt, surprisingly, God gave them food from above. Big difference. In Egypt, they ate food from beneath. In the journey into the promised land, they ate food from where? Above. This is a spiritual reality. That Israel was a type of men in the world who were feeding on earthly things. And almost every tree and every foodstuff has its roots underground. That means we gained our roots from the world. We fed our roots from the world. But surprisingly, when God brought them out, they were not supposed to eat Egyptian garlic, Egyptian cabbage, Egyptian lettuce anymore. They were supposed to feed the manna that came from above. Which is to tell us that before you were in Christ, the world was what you fed on. But now that you are called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, you are supposed to feed from above, which comes from the word of God. So listen, your manna is the word. So anytime you belong to a local church, you are in a place where you are fed with bread from above and not from lettuce from beneath. That is why God had a problem with Egypt when they were eating manna and got tired of manna. And what they were doing was that they were beginning to desire and long for the former food they ate when they were in Egypt. It's the same with the church today. A lot of Christians are getting fed up with the word, the manna from heaven, and they are still longing for the pleasures of the world. You will be shocked to check your Bible. Every sin that Israel committed, the church is committing today. Forgetting God, idolatry, immorality. So listen, if you check Israel and how they walk with God, you can be able to measure the alignment of your walk with God by that life. So the local church is a place where the bread of life, the word of God from the pure old God is fed. It's fed upon. I'm teaching good here. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3. Now the Bible says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly. That means the church of God is supposed to be fed with the nutrients of the word of God. It's a place where believers are fed and are established. By the time you leave a meeting, something should renew your mind. If you belong to a church that from January to December they never spoke about sin, you are in the wrong church. You are in the wrong church. I'm telling you. If you belong to a church where they don't pray, there's a problem somewhere. There's a problem somewhere. I'm going to teach you how to identify if you're in a safe church. All kinds of things happening today. I heard one believer saying that he can't leave his local church in as much as he's aware that his pastor is fornicating. He's aware, but he can't leave. Why? Because he has been there for 10 years. You see? So that's your criteria for being a local church. That's very dangerous. If a head pastor of a church is sleeping with a member of the church and he has not repented, confessed it to the entire membership to ask for forgiveness from the membership after he has done that with God, you are in the wrong place. You know why? Because anytime he lays hands on you, you reflect the same spirit. When he's speaking, he's spewing lust on you as anointing. When he's prophesying, there's a familiar spirit backing him. I'm telling you. So many people don't know that. That's just by the way. So the local church is a place where believers are what? Fed. In order to grow and be established in the word of God. Now I'm teaching you that so that you don't come to a place where you think that church is a place where people dress. To look good. Did I say don't look good? Look good. But you don't come to church because you have a new dress. I hope you are aware. See, there are believers who don't come to church because their dress is finished. All their new dresses are finished. So until they buy a new dress, they can't come to church. When they don't have a new dress, they feel bad that people will see the repetition of their dress. As if we care. Let me tell you something. That dress you wore, we didn't see it. You know why? Because Obiaswa is she. I'm telling you. You didn't see it. Santa, I can tell you your dress is looking nice, but I've not seen it. Hey. You know why? The pressure of the building. You yourself, I'm seeing you as cement. I see you as iron rod and cement. My wife was angry the other time, angry in a very funny way. I was talking to Mr. Sam, and then Mr. Sam said, the cantilever we were doing was supposed to be 8 feet. I said, 8 feet? 8 feet, baby, lie down, let me see something. She was just watching me like, ah, so now you use me for measurement. I did it subconsciously. The pressure, I'm not thinking of anything. I said, baby, lie down, let me see 8 feet. Hallelujah. I'm teaching good, amen. So hear me. Don't put yourself under pressure. If you wear one dress repeatedly 5 times consecutively every Sunday, it's a sign it belongs to you. That wig you have been wearing once a year, we suspect you. The weave on, the one you wear once a year, you wear January and wear 31st December. We suspect you. I'm teaching good here. So I never see why that should be a problem. Listen, I don't know why many believers are so concerned about other people, what others will say about them. The people you are even concerned about, they themselves are struggling. They themselves are struggling, and you are thinking about them. And one, like, what will people say? What will people say about me? They should say, okay, you can look into the mirror for 2 hours. That's the full service. Oh, that's the full service in the mirror. Full service. My goodness. My goodness. Number two. The local church is a place where there is mutual submission. The local church is a place where there is mutual submission. It's so beautiful. What do we mean by mutual submission? Now, you see, the way God designed the local church, He designed it in such a way that age will not be a barrier for which the work of God is being done. God designed the local church so that mutually we can submit to each other. Whilst the membership is submitting to authority, the leadership authority is also submitting to them and to God at the same time. Mutual submission amongst one another. The Bible says, submit yourselves to one another. Oh, can you do something here? No. You're not my age mate. You're not my colleague. You're not my working class. Can you imagine telling me to do this? Really? We don't understand that God placed us all together for mutual submission. You see, being in church is a test of humility. God is testing your character every time. He will test your character every time. Mutual submission. We submit to each other. We can correct each other. None of us are proud towards the work that we're doing. One can be sent on an errand, irrespective of age. So listen, when we come to church, you must be very careful about measuring people by age. It can be very dangerous. You can't receive from God. You know, so when I hear funny statements like, may I won't join a church that I'm older than the church. Oh, I won't join a church that the pastor is young. If the pastor is old, you say he's too old. If he's young, you say he's too young. If he's in between, you say he should have been old. So I don't understand. Team Timothy was 21 years old and was pastoring old women. It is not in every church that you'll be younger than the head pastor. There are some churches you'll be older than the pastor. This woman you are seeing here, that's Mrs. Ruffin. She calls me daddy. But how old are you? She's 50 years calling me daddy. Now think about it. Please, does it make sense? Humanly, it doesn't. What did she see? What did she understand about anointing and grace that makes her call me daddy? If you understand that, you can receive from God. That is not to say that you should call me daddy by force. Because I've told you, I'm not moved by daddy or mommy. Because some can call you daddy, but in the realm of the spirit, if God opens your eyes, they are like this in the spirit, in the flesh, looking at you, but in the spirit, they are holding a sword. So you must not be moved. But I'm using that as an example. So why should McGinn say that? So hear me, we are to submit to each other mutually. A young usher can tell you, please sit here. When you look at the height of the usher, just look at the person like this. Then you go and sit here. Do you know what is happening? Your character has been tested. So people think that, you know, the test of God is not, we see it in every dimension. Somebody came to pass by, the person didn't greet you. You just chase the person and say, good morning. When you won. You don't make a fight. The person came to pass by, he didn't greet you. They say, oh, really? Okay. That's fine. I'm a family. Hey, we lie to lie. You are being immature. Let me tell you something. The church is a hospital, and there's something you need to understand. When you come to a hospital, there are two groups of people. Three: nurses, doctors, and patients. When you come to church, over time and you are matured with the word of God, you become a doctor or a nurse, depending on your maturity level. Are you getting that? But when you have a problem with your character, you're a patient. So if you come to a church, you must be able to identify nurses, doctors, and patients. It will help you. Oh no, if you're in a psychiatric hospital and you see a patient, what do you do? You say, oh, relax. Then you just give him injection. Few or not the other. Now gradually recover, you understand? Somebody will behave in a way like that. And you realize that, he needs admission. You will hear something somebody has said about you and your heart will pant. Be careful. No, I'm telling you. It can affect your heart. Hallelujah. Charlie, when we understand this thing, oh my goodness. Are you blessed? I'm teaching you though. It's a place where there's what? Mutual submission. Finally, before, in fact, number three is not final, but because of the time, number three, the local church is a place where you are spiritually accountable. This area, I'm going to offend so many of you. I prepared 3 hours to say it in prayer. It's a place where you're what? Spiritually what? Accountable. Now the word accountable means answerable. You must be answerable to someone. You must be accountable spiritually to a system, to an individual leader. You must be spiritually accountable. Listen, if you're not accountable in a local church, you don't actually belong to the local church. Are you following what I'm saying? If you've been, at least if you've worshipped for some time, someone should know the work you are doing. Someone should know where you are staying. So in case you are leaving your boyfriend's house, we can catch you. The whole room is quiet. I know you're not like this. Me, I know I prepared in prayer, so I don't care. You see, you can't tell us where you stay. Where do you stay? Sometimes I'm in Dansuman. Sometimes I'm in Medina. We know. We should know the kind of work you are doing, so that in case you are into fraud, we can help you to repent. So, listen, this is not to a new convert. This is not to a new person who has joined the church. No. Somebody who has been in the church for some time, we should be able to know certain things about you. Your background, we should know it. So you must be accountable with basic information. You should be accountable also with your character. Because a bad character gives a bad image about your ministry. Now, some of you people don't even know that you go to church. I'm telling you the truth. Because in that compound house, you have fought every single person in the compound house. Listen, sometimes, for the sake of others knowing that you're a Christian and you're doing that, mekaya na mechai, for that sake, don't follow your heart. It can be very dangerous. Jammy. It may not end well. I told you some time ago, I was in a chamber and hall at Dansoman, and our landlord, the wall between me and my landlord is the wall inside. How do I even describe it? So if this is the wall, the landlord is living on the other side. Did you hear what I said? So sometimes conversations can go there. So one time, me and my wife had some little argument, and then she raised her voice a little. Me too, I wanted to raise my voice, and I raised it and I checked the tempo. I said, "Hey, for the sake of being a pastor, I said, I don't like that. Then you shout, for the sake, you're cuckoo, you're pushing, your friend, you're pushing. How do you do that? You think you don't have argument? Any marriage that doesn't have any difference, that means there is something. There's something. It's not even angel. Something. Argument, it will come. What are you talking about? Two different people who have met together in one house. They were raised from different parents, different systems, different governments. Hey! Different authors I've come to meet. It will take some time for it to shape. The first 1 year of our marriage wasn't easy. I'm teaching good here. I don't even know why I'm entering this area. Hey! Huh? Who was I telling? Marriage! Poja came off for Tuka. It's hard. I'm telling you. So, it takes a certain level of maturity. Yeah, I'm telling you. because you see things. You see, I told you people that when you see me like this, I look very nice, handsome, very calm. How are you? How's everything doing? Glory to God. Glory. Glory. But in the house, in the bedroom, my wife knows me. She knows me, I'm telling you. She knows me. Sometimes when the children are worrying her and I realize she's come to bring the child, I sleep like that. I'll open one eye to check what are they. So one time she realized that this guy is like a mafia today, and she took the girl and put her on me like a horse, and the girl was hitting my back like that. And while I'm being a man, I'm a genius. How bad? So one time I pretended to sleep like I closed my eyes. I said, "Aki, Aki," and I'll turn and the Holy Ghost said, "Son." Get up, okay. That's how I opened my eyes, and then I took the child. Hey, mafia tatis pa. Hallelujah. But my wife and I, we are friends, so we are very good friends, like very, very, very good friends. So it's like even a fight, guys, not a fight. You can argue 2 minutes, 3 minutes, then we are fine. We are okay. When they in fact our time is up. Hallelujah. Begin to bless the Lord and give him praise. Give him praise. Kabala broche begede musustu shebebe kabala baba sada kabala baba sututu. Moko polo broche baba tete. Begin to thank the Lord and bless you.